preacher. Well, I don't know what to think about a man that disrupt a good meeting and throw me in the pulpit. I was sitting over there praying, God, keep it going, keep it going. I was enjoying it, and I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate folks willing to respond to the prompting of the Lord. I found out a long time ago in my own life, it's better to obey what he puts on your heart to do, because you'll regret it if you don't. Been many a time I didn't do what he wanted me to do, and I regretted it. But I learned that lesson, and from that point on out, I've tried to obey the prompting of his spirit. I appreciate the Lord allowing us to be here tonight. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to give you a simple thought tonight and hope that it'll help us and speak to our hearts in a special way. Acts chapter number 16. And I want to start reading in verse number 19. I'm reading here in the context of the scripture concerning Paul and Silas. We've all heard the story of Paul and Silas being thrown in jail. We've all heard that story of how it happened. Of course, there was a woman that was following Paul who was possessed with the spirit of divination. And Paul got aggravated after a while, and he cast the spirit out of this woman. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was lost, they commanded that they should be arrested and beaten and thrown in jail. And here in verse number 19, the Bible says this, "And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons, the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help me now for just a few minutes. I thank you, Lord, for the good move of the Spirit that we've already experienced. But Lord, I pray now that you'd help us for just a few minutes through your word. Help us, God, that we might receive instruction tonight, that we might be blessed, and Lord, that we might apply it to our hearts and life, find our place in the message tonight. And Father, we're going to give you praise for all you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Very familiar story tonight that I've read from the Word of God, and we find the scene that Paul and Silas have been arrested, and they have been beaten with many stripes, and they have been thrown in jail. What I'm really interested in tonight, though, is the Bible said that after they had beaten them with many stripes, and they they said, we want you to put him in prison. Well, that's what they charged him to do. But the Bible says that the jailer, having received such a charge, he went one step further than just putting him into prison. He put him in what was called the inner prison. And in the Bible days, many times those prisons or jails, many times the inner prison was in the center of the prison area, and many times it was a hole down in the ground. That might have been where the origins of being thrown in the hole came from. I don't know. But here they are. There's a place in the prison that Paul and Silas, a special place, that they have been put, called the inner prison. I thought about that tonight as I look around this congregation. As far as I can tell, nobody came in here tonight wearing an ankle bracelet. Nobody probably got out of jail today. Nobody may be on the run from the law tonight here in this place. But the truth of the matter is, you may be tonight locked up in an inner prison. There are people all over this land, they're walking around, and what seems like they're free, and yet they're bound on the inside. They're bound by an inner prison. I think about that old Donnie Rambo song talking about bars of bone, they hold my soul. Well, there's a lot of other things that are holding people in these days, and I begin to think about that very thought of the inner prison. I'm preaching on this subject tonight on breaking free from an inner prison. Oh, I don't know about you. If there's one thing tonight that we all need to do is not allow the enemy to bind us and to hold us, even as a child of God, he'd like to lock you up. Even as a child of God, he'd like to beat you up, but thank God, don't let him shut you up. Amen. Oh, I thought about that. When you think about the inner prison, there's three things, distinguishing things about the inner prison. Number one, it was a place of intimidation. In other words, that's where the hardened criminals would be there in the inner prison. And the enemy, Satan, is good at intimidating and beating up on God's children. I see sometimes some of the best saints of God, it seems like the devil just wears them out. There'll be some issue, maybe from their past that they've long since been forgiven of, and yet the enemy uses it to try and beat them up and try to rob them of their joy. Hallelujah. But I'm glad you don't have to stay in an inner prison tonight. I'm glad when Jesus, whom the Son makes free, is free indeed. Hallelujah. Oh, I wrote that song many years ago. It's Under the Blood. And the old accuser, he comes and he tries to bring up memories of things long since forgiven and things you wish you hadn't have done. And the only thing that you can say and the best thing you can say is, it is under the blood, hallelujah, to his name. I thought about that. The inner prison is a place of intimidation. Not only that, it's a place of isolation. You talk about being... Here's Paul and Silas, they're thrown down in the hole in the dark. It's the midnight hour. And the devil, in his attempts to get victory over all of us, wants us to feel like we're isolated and alone. Let me tell you something right now. One of the greatest tactics the enemy uses on God's people is in the middle of your trouble and in the middle of your struggle, trying to make you feel like you're all alone. Here's Paul and Silas. They're down in the inner prison. It's midnight hour. There's no light. They can't see anything. I could hear Paul and Silas. Paul says, Silas, you over there? Yeah, I'm over here, Paul. How you doing? Well, I'm not doing too good. That fella beat me pretty bad. And they begin to talk. But let me tell you something right now. You need to understand this tonight. You may be going through some struggle that's got you bound, but you are not alone. Amen. You'd be amazed at the people that walk through this door tonight that thinks their struggle is unique to them. And yet all over this place, there's people that are facing similar struggles. They're facing similar battles. Hallelujah. The enemy wants to think you to think that you're all alone. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, the inner prison was a place of intimidation. It was a place of isolation, and it was a place of immobilization. The Bible said their hands and their feet was fast in the stocks. When your feet are shackled, Your movement is restricted. Let me tell you something right now. I go to churches every week of my life somewhere, and there's a lot of folks there. They're saved as I am. But a lot of them standing there shackled in the pews. They ain't moved in so long. The enemy's got it. That's why you ought to thank God for a church that don't care to move. Thank God. Listen, David, say something right now. Part of the reason God's blessed y'all like he has all these years is that you've not stopped moving. Hallelujah to his name. I remember I was in a meeting years ago in West Virginia. I was going to preach a revival. I've been to this church several times. Pretty good sized church, about 200 people. And on Monday, I was driving up to West Virginia so excited about the meeting. I just felt in my spirit that God was going to do something great. And boy, I couldn't wait to get there that night. Got to the service. The building was just about packed that night. And man, I got to preaching. I had the greatest liberty. I mean, I'm talking about preach like a wild man. And I preached a message on revival, on needing revival. A message that everybody could move on. I preached. I felt God's touch. I know when it's there and I know when it's not. And the sad part of it is when it's not there, everybody else knows it too. Amen. Kind of like the old black lady asked a preacher that's going to preach. Brother David Gibbs was in a black church. And the black lady looked at him and said, "White boy got the goods tonight?" He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "Well, if you ain't got the goods when you get up there, you might as well shut it down and sit down and not waste everybody's time." Amen. Well, I tell you what, I was there preached that night. And man, I was so excited. I gave the invitation on the first night of the meeting. Man, that crowd of 200 people, the only people that came to the altar was the pastor. He was sitting on this side, came to the altar, and there was a little handicapped man over on this side, came to the altar. The rest of that crowd just stood there. Didn't look like you could put revival in a bucket and pour it on them. That's the way they looked. And man, I said, "God, you spoke to my heart. You said you was going to do something here this week." I thought, well, maybe tomorrow night will be better. I came in on Tuesday night, and I preached, and it was a little tougher Tuesday night preaching. And I'll be honest with you, I gave the invitation that night, and at the invitation time, there was only two people came to the altar. The pastor on this side came to the altar. The little handicapped man on this side came to the altar. Two nights in a row. Everybody else stood there looking at their watch, ready to go to the house. I thought, well, man, surely it'll get better by Wednesday. I came in on Wednesday night, and I preached, and man, I did my best. When I gave the invitation, the exact same thing happened again. Nobody moved but the preacher and the little handicapped man. And I'll be honest with you, I was getting a little frustrated. And I stepped up before the pastor dismissed him. I said, "Preacher, can I say one more thing?" He said, "You sure can." I stepped up. I said, "Folks," I said, "y'all going to have to forgive me." They looked kind of funny. I said, "I've been a little frustrated this week. I've been preaching my heart out. Ain't nobody been moving." I said, "But you got to understand something. I've been in a church for the last 20-some years of my life that it never fails, no matter who's preaching, what the message is about. There's always people coming and doing business in the altar. Sometimes they're just coming to pray for their church and to pray for their preacher. So I'm used to seeing people respond to the word of God." And I said, "So y'all have to forgive me. I was a little bit frustrated." And I thought, well, give them that little pep talk. It'll be better tomorrow night. I came in on Thursday night. I preached and gave the invitation. The only two people that came to the altar was the preacher on this side, little handicapped man on that side. Thursday night, every night that week. I'll be honest with you, I was aggravated. I was standing on the platform thinking, man, I tell you what, tomorrow night's Friday night. I'm picking the shortest message I got, and I'm leaving my truck running in the parking lot. I said, "These people don't want revival. I've wasted a whole week of my life up here preaching, wearing myself out, staying away from my family, and they don't want revival." That's how I was thinking. I'm standing on the platform, and the preacher is getting ready to dismiss the service. And all of a sudden, an elderly lady in the back of the church stepped out in the aisle, started walking toward the front with both hands in the air, weeping out loud, I mean wailing. "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. You've been dealing with me all week to move, and I wouldn't move. I've been cold. She come up the aisle confessing out loud in front of that whole crowd. All the way, I've never seen it on that fashion before. All the way up that long aisle, she said, God, I've been rebellious. I didn't obey you. I didn't do what you told me to do. And she came to the altar, and she fell down in the altar. I looked up, here come her little husband, a little quiet man right behind her, and tears streaming down his face. All of a sudden, I looked up, and here comes somebody from over here, and over here comes somebody. And the next thing you know, I looked down, and the altar is filled, and the pastor got so excited that after he prayed, he said, all right, y'all, liberty to go. And I wanted to look at him and said, dude, I've been trying to get something going here for a whole week, and now that we got it going, you let them go. Came in on Friday night, and I didn't think I was going to get to preach. People in the choir, I've been singing in the choir cold. I've been singing in the choir, God's been touching my heart, and I wouldn't praise him. I've been doing it, and people all over, like popcorn, all over the church. People said, you know what, that was me. What sisters said last night, that was me. Let me tell you, the enemy would like to shackle you and stop you from moving. Oh, he'll put you in an inner prison so that you don't feel like you've got the liberty to move, the liberty to praise him, the liberty to do anything. I tell you what, the enemy will do a good job of that. But you see, even though Paul and Silas was in the inner prison, there's some things that they found in that inner prison. When I begin to think about that, first of all, they found in the inner prison an inner strength. You know, sometimes you think you know what you can handle, but you don't really know how strong you are until you're put in the right circumstance. Now, if there's ever a time that you ought to write out a resignation from what you're doing, it's after you have been wrongly accused, you ain't done nothing but helped a woman, and now they have beaten you with many stripes. You're sitting in the dark in an inner prison. It's about time right then to reevaluate your career choice in life. But Paul and Silas never thought one time about throwing in the towel and quitting. They're sitting there in the dark. Their bodies are aching. All of a sudden, Paul says, Silas, we'll just sing a song. Maybe we'll pray a little bit. And let me tell you something right now. When you find yourself in an inner prison, you're going to find out that God will give you a strength you didn't know you had to be able to. Some of you think, boy, I wish I could be as strong as so-and-so. I wish I had the faith that somebody else has had. You've got it. You just don't even realize it until you're put in the circumstance that it has to kick in. And when you get there, you'll understand there'll be something that rises up in you. Instead of waving the white flag and throwing in the towel, hallelujah, you're ready to stand up and say, boy, as soon as we get out of here, Paul, let's get back to preaching. As soon as we get out of this place, we'll just go back to doing what God wants us to do. Amen. They found an inner strength in the inner prison. They found an inner song. The Bible said they sang. Now, when you're sitting in the pitch black dark and the choir leader stands up, turning your hymn book to page 375. Well, first of all, ain't got no hymn book. Ain't got no light. But they got a song. An inner song. Sometimes you got to have the pressure put on you for that song to come out. Sometimes, some of y'all don't even think you got one. But I promise you this, God's put something in there that when you need it in the darkest hour of your life, it'll rise up in you. It'll cause you to worship him. I thought about, I preached Sunday over there about Job when in all of his troubles. I preached on this thought on Sunday on learning how to worship in the dark. The Bible said Job, when he heard all the calamities, he shaved his head, rent his mantle, fell on the ground and worshiped. Amen. Oh, if there's ever a time you ought to be shaking your fist in God's face, it's whenever things fell all to pieces and you've lost all your children. But instead, Job said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to worship. You see, Job had something inside of him. He didn't indict God. He didn't sin against God. There was something in him that when he needed it, it motivated his worship. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Sometime back, I was going through some battles. Sometimes it's not even battles at the church. There's a lot of battles you fight as a pastor. It's just a personal battle. I mean, just, I got news for you. Everybody's fighting them. I heard this last night. I was flipping through the radio channels trying to keep my mind on the road last night just to keep my attention. I flipped and there's this channel they're talking about. I could tell it was a rock and roll station and they was talking about some of these rock groups and they had a trivia question on there. I was curious about this trivia question. And they said, who can you attribute this quote to? And the quote was this: you'll either deal with your demons or your demons will deal with you. I said, my, what a quote. And they named four heavy metal rock group leaders. One of them, that was a quote. I held on. I had to listen to a rock song before I got the answer. And it sounded pretty good. It really did. I was kind of enjoying it. And you know that old story, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? What happens in the truck going back home from revival stays in the truck, amen. And they come on there and they said this fellow by the name of Nikki Six, I believe Motley Crue, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, a pretty, and they're older now. All them old rock stars have got old now. I mean, they wasn't good looking to begin with. I mean, you won't see something scary. Look them dudes up. I mean, I talk about they've lived hard lives. And this guy, this is what a lost rock and roll singer said. You'll either deal with your demons or your demons will deal with you. I thought about this, son. There's the enemy that wants to cause those problems in your life. You say, well, preacher, as children of God, we don't have demons. No, but we can be oppressed by them. I can't be possessed by one, but they sure can cause me some problems. But I'm glad in the midst of the dark days and the battles and the struggles and all those things that go on, I'm glad, hallelujah, that there's an inner song. And I was going through that. And one day I felt like the enemy had taken my song from me. I said, I didn't feel like there's another one in there. And all of a sudden some words started coming. I wrote them down. The enemy had brought me low. And from this place, where would I go? My heart was pained, my joy all gone. Then out of heaven, God gave a song. The battlefield leaves many scars. This gospel way is sometimes hard. But this old world is not our home. We'll soon see Jesus and we'll sing our song. I'm glad, hallelujah, that I have a song tonight. I'm glad he put one in me, amen. You'll find your song when you find yourself in the inner prison. There was a third thing they found in the inner prison. I call this one an inner summit. What do you mean by that? Everybody here, if somebody asks you to detail and describe your life, the whole of it, you would look back over your life and you would see some high moments in your life. There'd be some mountaintops. There'd be some experiences in your life. Somebody would say, boy, it was a high moment the day I got married. It's the high moment the day our children were born. Those are high moments when you got saved. You think about all the high moments. But if you told the truth about your life, you'd look back and there's just as many low moments as there are high moments. There's places you thought you'd die. There's places that you never thought you'd pull out of. There's places that the enemy said, I'll bury you here. And you'd look back over your life and you'd tell the whole story of your life. You'd say there were some very low places. But here's what Paul found out. If you asked Paul tonight and he came back here and said, Paul, tell us about some of the low places of your life, the low moments of your life. Paul might say a few things. He might say, I used to persecute the church. That was a low moment. And they'd say, well, tell us about that low moment you've been down in the inner prison. He said, oh, no, that was a high moment in my life. That you was down the hole, Paul. He said, God turned it into a mountaintop. Amen. He said, even though I was at the lowest point there in the dark shackle, couldn't do anything, we begin to sing and pray. Next thing you know, the old jailer, the jailer's done shook. He comes in trembling and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm glad there's a God that'll help you. He can turn every one of your valleys into mountaintops. When you look back over your life, some of those places you thought you'd die, some of those places you wouldn't have never went there, you look back now and you see that God turned it into a mountaintop. He did something for you that he couldn't do any other way there. Hallelujah to his name. I actually wrote a song about that. I write songs about everything. Matter of fact, got a new seat. Some of the ladies asked me about that. And I wrote a song called Mountaintops. And I told them when we cut the track for that song, I said, this is the musings of an old man as he looks back over his life. And he realizes that some of them places he thought he'd die have now become high places in his life. Amen. Looking back upon my journey, on the things I thought I knew, I wonder how I made it in the trials that I've come through. But in my desperation, when I prayed the pain would stop, so then I found my valleys had all turned into mountaintops. I've known some times of weakness. Oh, couldn't see his face, searching for an answer and the strength to run my race. But God's word was ever near me when it seemed my faith was not. And that's how all my valleys have turned into mountaintops. Oh, hallelujah to his name. Oh, they found an inner summit. You say, preacher, what do I need to know about this inner prison? I'll give you three more things real quick and I'm done. Number one, if you're going to survive the inner prison, you're going to have determination in the darkness. Paul and Silas, like I said, if there's any time to quit, they found it. But now instead of quitting, they have a prayer meeting and they go to singing. And I want you to notice what the Bible said. And the prisoners heard them. Can you imagine what those other prisoners, they're trying to go to sleep. And from down in the hole, they hear these noises emanating out of the hole. And two old boys down there in the dark can't even see each other. And they're singing and a praising God. Let me tell you something right now. If you'll have determination in your darkness, other people will see it too. Other people will hear it too. I thought about that determination in the darkness. I've told this here, been preaching over here so long, but it's an illustration. I've used it many times. Years ago, I was in a revival. I'd come home late one night, and I was getting ready to go to bed. My family's already in the bed, and I was walking down the hallway in the dark, and all of a sudden, there's a flash of light in front of my face, and I thought, am I seeing things? What was that? And then it did it again, and then I realized a little old lightning bug had gotten the house. And that thing had flash. And I got the biggest blessing watching that little thing in the dark. I said, you know, that bug's in the same darkness I'm in, but it ain't bothering him near as bad as it is me. Because he's got the ability to create his own light. And then the thought hit me, the Holy Spirit said, yeah, he's got light in him. I said, that's right. And then about that time, the Holy Ghost said, and you do too. Amen. I said, hallelujah. I said, let me tell you, I'll tell you why you can't quit when you're in the dark, because he put light in you. Oh, the day the glorious light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine in us, he put something in us to navigate the darkness of this world. Hallelujah. And no matter how you may be bound, there's an enemy that wants to bind you, but I'm glad he can't put the light out. I'm glad, hallelujah, that that light still shines. Hallelujah to his name. You got to have determination in the darkness. Number two, you understand that you've got a direct line to the throne of God. Now, I've never been arrested. Somebody should have said amen to that right there. Probably wasn't because I didn't deserve to be a few times, but I've never been arrested. But they tell me, I guess they still do it, that when they arrest you, you have a right to one phone call, don't you? Well, I got news for you. They didn't have that in place in Paul and Silas's day, but they didn't need it because they had a direct line to the throne of Almighty God. Amen. That old song, I Can Call Jesus Anytime. And the Bible said they went to praying. I thought about how many times do we neglect the ability of prayer. Sometimes, I made a quote here some years ago. I made a meme out of it, put it on my Facebook page, and I used our rock prayer altar with the church, and I just put on it, I said, pray like you believe God's listening.
Amen.
Sometimes we pray like we don't think nobody's hearing us. But Paul and Silas prayed like they knew God was listening. And the Bible said that Paul and Silas prayed and God shook the jail. I'm talking about a great earthquake.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something. I've heard of great earthquakes. It shook the foundations of the prison. But this is the strangest earthquake I've ever heard tell of, in that it shook the prison and it also opened all the doors to the jail. And it also took the shackles and the bands that were by. I'm talking about, I ain't never heard tell of an earthquake doing stuff like that. Can you imagine the news reporter there that night? He says, this is Bob so-and-so from WKYV, and we're here at the prison. There's been a massive earthquake. The foundations of the prison have been shaken. But all the prisoners are still here. Open the doors of the prison. And they said everybody's bands were shook off by this earthquake. And then they're silent. And he says, back to you, Fred. Because what do you say to that? There was such a presence of God in that prison. That even those prisoners, if you open up the doors, Northeast Correctional Center over there in Mountain City, if you open every door, now there may be some of them prisoners not run out of there, but there's going to be a whole lot of them, buddy, are going to hit the door. But that night, there was such an awesome presence of God. Amen. Amen. God's men got loose and them sinners got bound up by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And here's an old jailer. He comes in and calls for a light, and he's trembling. I love to see somebody get under conviction so bad that they tremble.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, we was over at the church when we was in the little building, and there's one night, man, God was moving. People were getting right with God. And I stood up and I said, hey, somebody here, God's dealing with you to get saved tonight. I said, God, you've run from God a long time. And there's a boy over on this, old boy on this side over here, hollered out and said, Leonard, it's me. It's me. It's me. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, that when the Holy Ghost power of God settles in a place, he'll break you free from the inner prison. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, they had determination in the darkness. They had a direct line to the throne of God. And then finally, if you want to get out of your inner prison, you're going to have to determine and decide what you're going to focus on. Now, they're down in the dark. If I looked around this building tonight, I told you, I said, I want you to pick out an object in this building and focus on it. Some of you might pick out the pulpits. I'm going to focus on that. Some might pick out the organ. Some might pick out one of those windows. Some might pick out a person. I'm going to focus on them. And the reason you can pick them out and focus on them because you can see them. But if it was pitch black in here tonight and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, and I told you, son, now pick out something to focus on. You'd have to make a decision on what you're going to focus on. See, Paul and Silas could have focused in the pitch black darkness. They could have focused on the one that hurt them. So many church people focus on the one that hurt them. They get their focus on somebody. Paul and them was beaten with many stripes. They had been physically hurt. And they could have said, you know what? That fellow was too cruel to us. We didn't deserve what he gave to us. Paul, they could have focused on a lot of things. They could have focused, well, you know that woman, if she hadn't have been following us and aggravating us all them days, I wouldn't even have bothered with casting that spirit out. We wouldn't be in here. Paul could have focused on a lot of things. But instead, you know what they chose to focus on? The Lord. I'm going to tell you something. When the doors will spring open in your life and in your situation will be when you decide in your darkness to focus on Him. Don't focus on who hurt you. Don't focus on none of those things. Just focus on the one that cares for you, the one that helped you in the middle of your struggle. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us tonight. Lord, I pray that you take charge of this meeting now. Lord, I realize people have already done business with you tonight. But God, this message may be for instruction tonight. God, you may have just sent it, Lord, as instruction to help us in the days ahead. Lord, the enemy would like to bind us. He'd like to lock us up. He'd like to beat us up. But Lord, don't let him shut us up. And Father, I pray, would you help us now by the good grace and mercy of God as we give this invitation, Lord? I pray in the name of Jesus we ask you. If I could get somebody to come tonight at the piano and get something to play, let's stand. I know you've already been in the altar tonight. I just want to give you an invitation. If you feel that need tonight, you come on again. If you don't, that's fine. You do whatever God wants you to do tonight. I'm glad you may be here and you say, preacher, there's times I feel like I'm bound. There's times there's battles that rages in me and it seems like it robs me of my joy, it robs me of my victory. And preacher, I just want God to help me tonight that I would be able to break free from that inner prison. I want to be able to focus on the right things in my darkness. I want to be able to understand that I have a direct line to the throne of God. I want to be determined in the middle of my struggle that God is going to get the victory. I wonder how many more tonight would say, preacher, I just want to come. He sings tonight. Whatever you got, brother, go ahead. Oh, yes. God's speaking to your heart tonight. You obey him tonight. Let him help you tonight. Oh, yes. Yes, Father. Yes, God. Oh, yes. That's right, obey God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you can be. Just like the Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I wonder, would there be somebody tonight like that? Say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I've never been saved. I want to be saved, preacher. Anybody tonight? Anybody? Is there somebody you say, preacher, I haven't come, but I've got a need in my life. Would you pray for me? Would there be honest with God tonight? Lift your hand anywhere in the building. Say, I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? Anybody else tonight? Lift your hand. Take it right back down. Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us. Thank you for how you've helped us. And Lord, I praise your name for the service. Thank you for the good spirit of God that's been here evident throughout the service. Now, Lord, help us, I pray. God, in the days ahead, bring these things to our mind and our remembrance when we need them. Father, we're going to give you praise for all you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. Help us now, Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name.